Hi, everyone, and welcome to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty 101.5 FM. I am Jim Samaria.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Mark.
And I am your humble co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, we bring you music, insights, and interviews covering the most influential era for rock, pop, blues, fusion, prog, soul, and R&B music. Woo!
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which is available online at Amazon, the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum website gift page, or through my webpage at jimsamariaphoto.com. The book features my photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day with words by the man the Beatles almost took into the band, but instead took Billy Preston, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Well, Jim, here's a little known story. Only Ringo wanted me. John, Paul, and George wanted Billy.
Oh, well.
So there.
What are you going to do? Well, after watching the documentary Get Back, I was inspired to do a Beatles show. What did you think of Get Back?
Jim, I could not pull myself away from the documentary. I felt like a fly on the wall watching and hearing the boys in their most intimate moments messing around while making great music. And the rooftop concert always gives me chills.
Yeah, I agree. I thoroughly enjoyed it. What we're going to do today is we're going to play one song from each of their 12 United Kingdom studio releases that don't get as much airplay as most of their other music.
But first, some Beatles history. On July 6, 1957, 16-year-old John Lennon was playing a church social with his skiffle band, the Quarrymen. In the audience was 15-year-old Paul McCartney. After the show, Paul introduced himself to John.
You know, and Mark, they really hit it off. Paul played and sang Eddie Cochran's 20 Flight Rock song for John. And after some thought, John asked Paul to join the band as a guitar player and second vocalist. And Paul, of course, readily accepted. And then in early 1958, Paul asked his younger friend, George Harrison, to audition. And he played the song Raunchy on guitar, and he was then taken in as part of the band as well.
Well, the Quarrymen reformed with John, Paul, and George, and they added Stuart Sutcliffe on bass and Pete Best on drums.
So Lennon and Sutcliffe came up with the name Beatles as an homage to Buddy Holly and the Crickets. You know, you get it? Bugs? Beatles? Crickets? Well, anyway.
I get it.
Yeah. They changed the spelling so that it's spelled B-E-A-T, not B-E-E-T, as in beat in the music.
Yes. And a very short time later, they were named the Silver Beatles.
So starting in 1959, the lads from Liverpool, now known as just the Beatles, played regularly at a club owned by Sutcliffe's mother called the Casbah. Later, they honed their skills by playing endlessly at the Cavern Club in Liverpool.
But bassist Stuart Sutcliffe left the band in mid-1961 to attend art school, and Paul McCartney moved over to bass. As time passed, John, Paul, and George grew unhappy with drummer Pete Best, and as we say, he was canned. In 1962, a drummer with a band called Rory and the Hurricanes became the fourth member of the Beatles. His legal name was Richard Starkey, but of course we all know him as Ringo Starr.
And, you know, from there, the rest is history, but it's time to play some music that we promised you. Enough about the Beatles' past. Our first song is called Ask Me Why, and is from the Beatles' first United Kingdom album called Please Please Me, which was released in 1963, and it was the B-side of their debut single, Please Please Me. Ask Me Why was under consideration to be their first release, but their producer, George Martin, didn't think it was a strong enough song. It was written primarily by John Lennon, and it was one of four songs that they took to their very first recording sessions in June of 62 at EMI Studios, the Abbey Road Studios. The original drummer, Pete Best, was on that original track, but this recording was basically a commercial test, so the recording really wasn't that good. So they re-recorded it in November of 62, but this time with Ringo on drums, and that version was much stronger, and that's the version that was released.
Well, listen closely, and you can hear the influence of Motown's Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
I love you, cause you tell me things I want to know. And it's true that it really only goes to show that I know that I should never, never, never be blue. Now you're mine. Can't believe it's happened to me. I can't conceive of any more misery. Ask me why.
I'll say I love you, and I'm always thinking of you. I love you, 'cause you tell me things I want to know, and it's happened to me. I can't conceive of any more misery. Ask me why.
I'll say I love you, and I'm always thinking of you.
Hey Mark, here's a question for you. The Beatles signed with EMI Records in the United Kingdom, but what label turned them down?
Well, Jim, that's an easy one. It was none other than the historic Decca Records. And as the story goes, Decca A&R man Dick Rowe rejected the Beatles. For those who don't know, an A&R man is an artist and repertoire representative. He told manager Brian Epstein that guitar bands were on their way out. However, Rowe denied ever saying that.
Yes, but he did reject the Beatles. But he learned his lesson, and he signed the Rolling Stones, the Zombies, John Mayall, Tom Jones, the Small Faces, and many others. Anyway, so Mark, what's the next hidden gem by our Beatles?
Well, he certainly made up for that statement if he did make it. After their debut album topped the UK charts in early 1963, the Beatles released their second album with the Beatles just 8 months later. Of course, it topped the UK charts. The song Not a Second Time is primarily a Lennon song and once again influenced by Smokey Robinson. The song was completed in only 5 takes, and George Harrison's guitar was not present on this track. In an interesting move, I didn't realize George Martin played piano, but he filled in on piano on this song.
Yeah, and to me, the beauty of this song is its harmony and melody. Please enjoy.
You know you made me cry. I see no use in wondering why I cried for you. And now you've changed your mind. I see no reason to change my cry. It's through. Oh, you're giving me the same old lie.
You know, Jim, I just want to mention, the beauty of these early songs was the way they isolated the tracks to either the right ear or the left ear. And it was very easy to make out the vocals because they just isolated them in one side. But The cover photo on this album is very interesting. I think it's one of the best of all time. What about you, Jim?
Yeah, I think the black and white photo by Robert Freeman is a classic. Brian Epstein invited the photographer to shoot the band after seeing his work of John Coltrane. The band liked the style of earlier photos that their friend Astrid Kircher took of them in Hamburg, with the heavy shadows and no smiling. And they wanted something similar. And furthermore...
Wait, Jim. I know you're a great photographer, but this is a music show.
Oh.
When we're finished, we can ask our executive producer if he'll give you a photography show.
All right. Sorry, I got carried away with photography.
All right. That's all right.
Anyway, by 1964, the Beatles were now bigger than big. Their music had hit the USA. They had two Beatle USA versions albums released in January, and both soared up the U.S. charts. Mark, can you tell us a little bit about them?
I'll be glad to. Well, first we had Chicago's VJ Records releasing Introducing the Beatles, which made it to number two, while Capitol Records released Meet the Beatles, which shot to number one. And in 1964, they appeared three times on the Ed Sullivan Show. These appearances definitely pushed sales through the roof. Jim, what are your remembrances about seeing them on the Ed Sullivan Show?
Well, you know, of course I watched them, and, you know, I was so close to the TV, my nose was touching the TV. But that's the day I started combing down my hair bangs, you know. So anyway, that's when the hair started getting long.
And Beetle boots.
And I never got Beetle boots. I had wide feet, okay. So I couldn't buy those narrow things. 3 months later, Capitol released the Beatles' second album in the USA, which went right to number one. So the band is riding high. So what to do next? Well, what do you think they did, Mark? They made a movie. And the movie was A Hard Day's Night, and it was released in July in the UK and August in the US. And Mark, do you remember where you saw the movie?
You know what? To be honest, I don't remember the theater, but I do remember how likable and funny they were. And I said to myself, boy, these guys are far more than just great music makers.
Yeah, I remember it so well. I saw it at the Lake Theater in Oak Park, and the girls were screaming at the screen, and I kept going, shh. But no one heard me, no one. Anyway, the album with only the tracks from the movie included was released in June on United Artists because it owned the USA movie rights. The UK version on their usual label, Parlophone, was released in July and contained extra songs. Lennon and McCartney wrote all the songs on both albums, and of course, they went to number one in both the USA and the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and Capitol Records, Jim, wanted to make even more money off the Beatles, so they released the album titled Something New a month after A Hard Day's Night. And predictably, Something New climbed to number two.
Well, here's another song, mainly another John Lennon composition, and this time he was influenced by the Shirelles and the Chiffons. But the song is called Tell Me Why, and this is one of my favorite all-time Beatles songs.
Tell me why you cried and why you lied to me. Tell me why you cried and why you lied to me. Well, I gave you everything I had, but you left me sitting on my own. All I do is have my head and moan.
reminder that you are listening to that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7.
Well, all right, Jim, you know, once we get into the year 1964, the Beatles were a worldwide phenomenon. 6 months after they released the album Hard Day's Night, they were called on to release another album in the UK. So in December of 64, they came out with Beatles for Sale. No surprise, the album went to number one in the UK for their fourth straight number one album. It included covers by their heroes Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, and Carl Perkins. For me, the one song that really stands out is the medley Kansas City, Hey, Hey, Hey. It was written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, and Hey, Hey, Hey was written by Little Richard. Well, McCartney heard Little Richard's version, and he loved it so much that the band had performed it many times in the past.
And you know, the Beatles did open for Little Richard during his shows at the Star Club in Hamburg, Germany in 1962, and they developed a good relationship with Little Richard, and he advised Paul on how to do some vocal styling.
Well, let's hear how well Paul learned those lessons from Little Richard on the songs Kansas City / Hey, Hey, Hey.
By mid-1965, the Beatles were really cooking. They had many hit singles, many hit albums. So what's next? How about a concert tour and make another movie, which of course means more new songs. The movie Help began production in February of 1965 and lasted 54 days. It premiered at the end of July, and the concert tour opened August 15, 1965 at Shea Stadium in New York, and at that time set an attendance record of 55,000.
A lot of people. Where should they find the time to write more music?
I'm not sure when they did, but Paul did have time to write several of the songs on the album, and one of my favorites is The Night Before.
We said our goodbye of things we
it makes me wanna cry.
That was The Night Before from Help. Mark, you're going to tell us about our next Beatles album, which in my opinion is their best.
Yes, a lot of critics agree with you, Jim. It was a point in time where they definitely shifted gears. Rubber Soul was released in both the UK and USA in December of 1965, and here's a surprise, it topped the charts in both countries. After a brief rest following their concert tour, they recorded yet another album, but with a very different feel. The album was influenced by Bob Dylan and the Byrds, and the Beatles made an album that added folk and soul to their pop sound. They were maturing as artists and becoming more serious studio band under the direction of their genius producer, George Martin. So let's play a George Harrison composition titled If I Needed Someone. It's a love song dedicated to his wife, Patty Boyd. George handles lead vocals and plays a Rickenbacker 12-string guitar thanks to the influence of Roger McGuinn of the Byrds.
If I needed someone, if I had some more time to spend, then I guess I'd be with you, my friend. If I needed someone, had you come some other day, then it might not have been like this. But you see now I'm too much in love. Carve your number on my wall and maybe you will get a call from me. If I needed someone, some other day that it might not have been like this, but you see now I'm too much in love. Carve your number on my wall and maybe you will get a call from me. If I needed someone,
the Beatles had decided to retire from performing live and put their heart and soul into this album, and the results show it. They experimented with studio techniques such as double tracking, reverse tapes, and tape loops. The song we're going to do is a Paul McCartney song called For No One, and he wrote it during the filming of Help. Please enjoy For No One.
Your day breaks, your mind aches, you find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up she makes up. She takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You want her, you need her, and yet you don't believe her when she says her love is dead. You think she needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You stay home, she goes out. She says that long ago she knew someone, but now he's gone, she doesn't need him. Your day breaks, your mind aches. There will be times when all the things she said will fill your head. You won't forget her. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years.
Well, that was part one of Hidden Gems by the Beatles. Hope you enjoyed it. Please stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show on WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.